welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion, and really thankful that you've chosen to join us today. Looking forward to this Philippians series, and it was so good to kick this thing off this past Sunday. I really thoroughly enjoyed the study of Acts 16 and looking at how this church started and just seeing, honestly, how incredible God is. He works in just amazing ways. And so a couple of things that I ended up digging into that maybe are helpful to you today. I pray that's the case. Number one, I felt like the introduction to the letter to the Philippians was so fascinating. What we see in basically every other letter that Paul writes to churches, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, what we see is Paul attributing rightly his title and naming and identifying himself as an apostle, like I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he'll often begin. But he doesn't do that with Philippians. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. And so, you know, that got me thinking about, okay, well why does he refer to himself as a servant versus this first identification as an apostle? Again, rightly so, to be identified as an apostle. He is appointed by Jesus himself. And so that was sort of the springboard that I was interested in to get into the study then of Acts chapter 16, and worked through, well, why is it that he really understands himself to be a servant versus an apostle as he's communicating and teaching it to the Philippian church. And so when you start to work through things, first you see the interaction with Lydia. Then we get the interaction with the young girl who is a slave, who is demonized, and she has a demonic spirit. And Paul, by the power of Jesus, frees her from that demonic spirit, which causes issues, significant issues. You see, her owners, as the text would tell us, well, they're not happy about that because that's their opportunity to make money. And so in response to that, they seize Paul and Silas and drag them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And I'll pick things up in verse 20. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, verse 22, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. I think what really struck me there was that Paul, in that moment, as he and Silas are being beaten mercilessly, no doubt, Paul doesn't say, whoa, wait a second, I'm a Roman citizen. He doesn't choose that moment to make his citizenship known. Like, why is that? Well, we're not told exactly, but Paul clearly understands that whatever's happening here, this is the will of God. So then they're put into prison. Their feet are put into these stocks, which is this wooden board structure where you would have had to sit or lie on your back, and your feet would be sort of elevated out in front of you. And oftentimes your feet would be hit with sticks and beaten and spat upon and all sorts of horrific things. And yet in this situation, after they've been wrongfully arrested, wrongfully beaten, their rights not given to them, not granted to them as a Roman citizen. Verse 25, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." And I think it's so important that Luke, the author of this, gives us this detail. Then in verse 26, "Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken." Then we see that the prison doors are flown open. Everyone's chains come loose. And so the picture we get clearly is everybody's free to go. The jailer wakes up, and in response to the earthquake, he sees that the doors are open. He assumes, of course, everybody must have escaped. He immediately begins to draw his sword to take his own life. The Apostle Paul says in verse 28, "But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.'" And it's like, what? They're all here? Why would that be? And I think the reason why that is verse 25. when they have been mistreated, they have been undergone just horrific things, and they're singing. They're singing hymns to God. To me, what this says is clearly that these other prisoners see there's something different in these two men. Again, rights refused, really abused. And yet, these two are different. And that just made me think of when people look at us, do they see difference in us? Really, it's not necessarily us. It's do they see the different God in us? Do they see Jesus in us and in our hope resting on Christ and not anything else? I think that's what the core point is there. And then lastly, I think just for this Drivecast in particular, I think it's so significant and important to note that Paul understood that the gospel came before his rights. Again, as a Roman citizen, he had a right to a trial. He didn't get a trial. In that moment, he didn't make that known. Rather, he understood the gospel is of utmost priority over my personal rights. And so I'm going to put my personal rights aside, and I'm going to endure this mistreatment because I believe God is up to something and doing something that far exceeds the importance of my personal liberties. And to me, once again, just such an important point for us. And so to that end today, two really things to go into the rest of our day or week or whatever it may be. Do others see Christ in us, in how we respond to certain situations? And is the gospel of utmost importance to us, or our personal rights or freedoms of utmost importance? And so I want to ask just the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us in giving us discernment there. And so I'll pray for us, and I want to say thanks again for joining us on the Drivecast. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness and for your preservation of your word, and that we can see in it just these incredible examples of faith, all done by your work and your spirit. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. Would you allow us to reveal you to the world. When we are mistreated, or maybe when difficult things are happening, would we still hold a deep-rooted joy that points others to you and reveals you within us? And would we make the gospel our primary priority? And would everything else take a second place to that? Lord, we need you. We love you, and we submit ourselves. In Jesus' name, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.